Okay, Mr. Archer, the pulpit is yours. Welcome him. Come on.
Thank you, Tim. Good morning, everyone. You know, as Tim mentioned, sharing here the day after Christmas, I'm fine with that. I love it. Always love the opportunity to be here with you. But I will voice a protest. When I am asked to come up here following what those kids just did here, and you know, the little burrito on the end, I don't know how you follow that, but I'll do my best today. No, it's all very good stuff. Good stuff. I was talking this morning with my wife Patty, and we're just kind of looking back at the year we just had and 2021 and looking forward to 2022. You know, Christmas is kind of, this is that transitional week, right? From the holidays and the beauty of Christ and the simplicity and enormity of what came to earth in the divine Christ child. And then kind of turning our attention after that to what our future holds. And I said to Patty, you know, in our particular lives right now, there are some challenges. And I said, you know, one year from this moment, what will it look like? And I'm trying to think back a year ago at this time. Certainly didn't, I had much higher hopes for 2021 than probably most of us live through and experience. Not just personally, but you know, in the bigger picture. And the COVID and all that has brought. But just that transition period here as we look forward to 2022, and always remembering that the beauty and supremacy of Christ is always there. It is foremost and over everything, correct? And so that we have, we can hang on to and trust that the Lord is with us. Today's passage is going to be in the book of Amos. Our text today is from Amos. Amos is a minor prophet. I'll give you a few minutes to find that, those of you that have your Bibles. Yeah, Isaiah, Joel, Amos. The title of the message is The Immutable God. The Immutable God. And you say, why are you throwing out a $5 word at us here, the Immutable God? Immutable, and I had to look it up. I'm being honest with you, I had to look it up. I kind of had an idea. And you know, Ken's down there telling me just before, he says, does that mean God doesn't shut up? He just keeps talking, you know, because you think of the opposite of mute, you can't talk, right? Immutable is just the opposite of that. And so I was thinking the same thing. So I looked it up, and it just means this. Immutable is, it is never changing. It is constant, it is consistent from beginning to end, it always will be that. Mutable, not immutable, but mutable is fickle, changing. Youth is fickle. An immutable fact would be one that is the same always. 11 plus 11, whether you think it, now I get this, and this is a common math problem. Maybe you saw this, Kurt, in your math days. 11 plus 11 is not 21. Even though you might think it's 20, it's 22, okay? And for a young person learning their double-digit addition, that might be a problem for them. But it doesn't change the fact that 11 plus 11 is 22. It is an immutable fact. Are you with me? Okay. So, we have an immutable God that is with us and over us and lives inside of us as believers and as his children. And that is a good thing. And we'll discuss that as we go on. Let's pray. Father, we just, as always, acknowledge your goodness, your mercy, your forgiveness, your love for man. Despite ourselves, your Son came to this earth so that we might live into eternity with him and have a relationship with our Lord and Savior. And for that, we are grateful, Father, and we give our lives. We pray that these next few moments would be an acknowledgement of your beauty and your grace and your perfection forever and ever. Amen. And amen. The passage in Amos chapter 7, Amos was a we'll call him a minor prophet, and that's just because the book is shorter than the major prophet books. He was a prophet, but actually he goes on later in this chapter, I won't quote this part, but in later in chapter 7, he goes on when he's prophesying against Israel, the nation of Israel. He's saying, we're not getting it right, you got to do better, or God's judgment is going to come, and this is what's going to happen. We're going to start in verse 7. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. And Amos has a vision, and he's sharing it with them, and get to back to who Amos was. Late after he gives this vision to the king and to the priest of Israel, the head honcho, so to speak, they say to Amos, hey, Amos, seer, prophet, why don't you go somewhere else with this word? Take it somewhere else. You know what he says? I'm no prophet. He says, I was just a herdsman in the field and a picker of sycamore figs. That's what he said. That's all he was, just a normal guy out in his field. And that gives us some hope, right? Some of us here, just average people. And so here's what the Lord said to him, to the nation of Israel. And I think this is something as we look into the year in front of us, as we look forward, not just into the 2022, but for our lives. Here's what he had to share with Israel. Verse 7. Thus he, that's capital H, God the Father, showed me, and behold, the Lord was standing by a vertical wall with a plumb line in his hand. The Lord said to me, what do you see, Amos? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am about to put a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. Now, that's not a very optimistic word for them. But nonetheless, it was a truth that they needed to hear. And so we too, I think, sometimes need to remember that that immutable God, that God that doesn't change, is uncompromising, is absolute in who he is. And so that's not only in all the great things that we enjoy from him, his love and his mercy and his kindness, but it's also his correction that comes along the way. And so there is a plumb line, and poor Eladio back there is probably trying to figure out it. Plumb, I think it's plomada. Does that make sense, Michael? Does that sound plomada? Do you know that word? Okay. Yeah, plumb line, you know, I could take a string and tie a rock to the end of it and drop a plumb line. I can remember, you know, working at the lumber yard when my dad had the lumber yard when I was just a kid, or middle school, high school years. A lot of contractors would come in, carpenters, and I heard a lot of the lingo from those guys. And I can remember them talking about, you know, dropping a vertical plumb line as they're doing their masonry or whatever it was. And that just gave you a vertical reference, okay? And so that plumb bob, or plummets, they would call it sometimes, they would drop, and it would give them a reference. And they would sometimes call that reference for whatever, and these are just, you know, carpenters, they say that datum, that gives me some data, datum. It gives me something to start from. Now, interestingly enough, and I was thinking about this morning when I was going back over these notes, they would use sometimes, they'd say, well, I'll use the plumb line for the vertical, but I'll just use the spirit level for the horizontal. And now the spirit level is kind of an older term for just a bubble level. You can do that either way, vertical or horizontal. They call it a spirit level. And I thought, oh, that's perfect for this message, right? God gives us a spirit level to measure ourselves with and to draw us closer to him, right? And so he's not, you know, whatever image works for you, but he's not putting a plumb line or a level across your back to see if you're standing up straight, if you're doing things the right way. The idea isn't to fulfill the law in this, if you're following me. It's to get closer to him, to get closer to that center line. And that would be the plumb line. And what is our plumb line for us? The most obvious is this, the Word of God. I was watching Albert Mohler. He's the head of the Southern Baptist, or he's a Southern Seminary. He might be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm not sure. He's a good man, solid man, talks a lot about the culture and so forth. And he was preaching somewhere, and there was a pulpit. The thing had to be 5 foot wide. Good old Baptist church, you know. And it had in big, bold letters across the front, all caps, Sola Scriptura. Only Scripture. And that is our guide. And so I'm going to show you just in a couple verses here that God is immutable. He is the same forever. Just some that we know. The prophets said, Isaiah, one of them, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Doesn't depend on you and what you think of it or how you interpret it. It is the same always for us. I, the Lord, Malachi says, in referring to God, I, the Lord, do not change. Simple. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In 1921, in 2021, in 2121, should he tarry? He is the same. There is a rock that we can hold on to. And in days where the sand is pretty soft and the foundation doesn't seem very solid, whether it's our nation or our homes, the church, whatever it is, we have something to hold on to. From everlasting, David says, to everlasting, you are God. And here's some encouragement from Timothy. 2 Timothy 2 and 13. If we are faithless, talking about us, the church here, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot disown himself. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. This is why this matters to us. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. You notice he's everything to us because he is the only thing that is solid and will not melt or will not shift like the foundation of some homes. He is the truth, and his righteousness and his kingdom principles are uncompromising, and they are fixed. They are absolute. They do not change. He is the immutable God. They don't change from day to day, from feeling to feeling, from circumstance to circumstance, from president to president, from Supreme Court decision to Supreme Court decision. And there's an important one going on right now that they're deliberating. I'm going to come back to this abortion thing in a minute. We live in a wonderful state. Do you know that? Very interesting state. Talk about the abortion battle right here. Wait till you hear this. For whatever reason, you live in, most of you probably, unless you're a visitor, live in New York State. And that means you are a citizen here. And so you have, in my mind, spiritual authority in this place. As a resident of this county and of our state. And so I hope we take advantage of who we are, right? And by that I mean, I think we have more spiritual authority, and I'm careful how I say more there, here in New York State, because this is where we live, than I maybe do in Oklahoma, if you follow me. Are you with me on that? Not that Oklahoma doesn't matter, but I live here. Right? And guess what? People in Oklahoma are probably praying for us because we live here in New York State. So circumstances don't change it. Leaders don't change it. The culture you live in, we had a couple of cultures expressed here. That doesn't change anything. He's still the same God. And the same principles apply in Latin America and in Africa and in Asia. You know, we were talking earlier about India, just different cultures and different ways of seeing things. Well, guess what? There is a way to the Father, and it's Jesus Christ. I think cultures can demonstrate God's character and personality, just like individuals do differently, but it's the same God, same heart that is expressed. And so, it doesn't matter all those things. Even virus variants don't matter. From variant to variant, it doesn't matter. He is still God, the immutable God, and he isn't changing because of what's Omicron? Is that what it is? He doesn't change because of that, right? Or whether a student in my class wants to be a rebel and pull his mask down below his nose, right? It's a challenging time in our schools. I'm just going to say that for you right now. Because when Mr. Archer is telling a student, please put it back up, and I don't even have it on, that can be a problem, right? The authority that I'm giving to tell that kid, you need to put it back on, and mine's down here or off to the side. At any rate, I'm digressing. The world is his and all it contains, the scripture says, right? The cattle on a thousand hills. It's all his. Now here's the rub with that. We can all nod our heads and say, that's wonderful. Yes, that's true. But guess what? That includes you. You're part of this. So when the plumb line is dropped, Tim Archer's measured somehow against that. Now, this isn't about we've got to live up to that standard, because it is impossible to live up to those kingdom principles apart from God's grace and his instilling us with an ability to do that, to live that way, to have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The gifts of the Spirit, they come as a gift from him. I can't manufacture it. Willpower, when you start making your resolutions for January 1st, willpower will get you so far. For some of you, it'll be 3 hours. And for others of you, it'll be 3 days. For some of you that have strong willpower, you might make it 3 weeks. But for most of us, you know what we should do, Ken? Is tape everybody's resolutions today and then play them back a year from now and see how we did. We're not going to do very well unless we set the bar pretty low. That plumb line is dropped in my life. That's the Holy Spirit working in our lives, teaching us, training us to be transformed into his image and to be renewed in the mind. With our time, our talent, our families, our relationships, our work, our bodies. That one probably hit a mark. Our property. It's all his. My worldview, my words, my conversation, everything. Here's the plumb line, right? And there is a perfect truth that he is drawing me closer to. He's not pushing me or whipping me. He is loving me to that place, to that center line of reference. Because if we start off, right, Jason, the wall is not going to look very good when you get done. If we start from a wrong position. Here's an immutable truth. And I think I might have mentioned this. This is a C.S. Lewis quote. All men are immortal. Every single one of us, every human being that was ever born or created, we'll say, and we got abortion thrown in there, created, is immortal. They are destined for eternal hell or eternal joy and rapture with their Lord. That's how I read scripture. It's one or the other. Matthew 25 and 46 says, then they will go away, some to eternal punishment, others, the righteous, to eternal life. And by righteous, it's not because they've done something great, it's because they believe in someone who is perfect and righteous. Matthew reminds us again that nobody can serve two masters. Right? We cannot serve two masters. Either we will hate the one and love the other, or vice versa. You cannot serve God and mammon, the scripture said. Mammon referring to money, wealth, greed, that kind of thing. But it's a type of everything else other than God in our lives. How is that measuring up? C.S. Lewis again in, I think it was in the Screwtape Letters. I've been reading a couple of his things at once. Where Screwtape is writing, I think it's to his nephew Wormwood, right? About how to get this guy, this earthling, this human being, to get away from the enemy, which is God. Screwtape is like a minion of the devil, right? He's trying to convince him to get away. And he says, you know, this guy of yours, he's got a girlfriend now. And she's a pretty strong believer in the enemy and in God. This is a problem. He says, you gotta get him away. The problem here is, he says, it's mere Christianity. She believes merely in Christianity. You gotta throw something else in there. Christianity and psychology or something. Christianity and political movements. Christianity and entertainment of some kind. Get him just a little bit off the mark. And by a short amount of time, they're going to be going in the direction we want them to go. It's the same with us, right? And I think sometimes we're afraid to be honest with the Holy Spirit as he looks to, quote unquote, measure us a little bit and see where things are with a Father's loving and forgiving heart all the time. I mean, just because I read through the Bible in a year, you know, there's so many chapters in a day, Old Testament, New Testament. I'm in Revelation. And just at that time now, at the end of Revelation, we're talking about Armageddon and the last days and the mark of the beast and, you know, all those. It's really fascinating to think about all that. And how close are we to those things? I don't know. Will we even get to December 26, 2022? I don't know. He might come back. Wouldn't that be great? For some. But there's some clear distinction in the book of Revelation between his own and those that are not his. There is a clear distinction, whether it's the mark or something else, it's obvious to all. And I think sometimes as believers, we make the gray areas of our faith. If you're following me there. We try to justify some things just enough so I'm not, you know, I'm getting close to the fire, but I'm not getting burnt too bad by it, but I can feel the warmth. I think I'm okay. You with me on this? It's a Christianity and something. The plumb line gets dropped, but we have an immutable God. Patty and I were talking the other day about a dream that I'd had. I think I was talking to Patty. It might have been somebody at school. I don't know. And it ties into this. I was dreaming, and if you know where we live on Culver Road out in the town of Barrie, I was walking down Culver Road heading south. This is a dream. Patty and I, we've had a tough stretch here for about the last 6 months or so. And so I'll be honest with you. I have never had anxiety, any of those. I'm just pretty, you know, casual, carefree, go with it. Feel like I'm kind of in control of things. I'm good. And, you know, that's been kind of thrown out the door. And so I woke up in the middle of the night and I was feeling it. And I wasn't having a panic attack or anything. It's just like I'm thinking, you know, I'm waking up thinking about these things. And so I fall back asleep. And this was the dream that I had. Walking down Culver Road, heading south, and I'm with my nephew. I won't name him. With my nephew and some other, we're walking down. And as I get within distance of seeing our house on the west side of the road, I said, what in the world? And so I start running, and it's probably a quarter mile. I'm running, and I get there, and there are cars in the driveway and on the other side by the dog pound in that driveway, in the yard, junk cars. I'm thinking, I don't know any of these cars. I'm going, what is happening here? I go in the house. There's nobody in there. All the furniture is different. Different pictures on the wall. It's like another family had moved into our house in the short time that I'd been down the road visiting family. So I'm going through, and I'm, you know, kind of panicking. I'm mad. I'm like, what is going on here? Well, then all of a sudden, and I don't know why, they start pulling in the driveway this other family that had moved into our house. And there's grandkids running around. Most of them, they parked over on the dog pound side. There's something to that. Every detail matters. They park, and they're walking over to that back porch. And there's kids, so there's grandkids running around. Then there's the two adults, and then they're grandma and grandpa. And they come in that side door first. And I meet them at the door. I said, is this your stuff here? I wasn't, you know, very Christian. I said, was this your stuff? What are you doing here? And it was a Jezebel. All I can think of is this Jezebel woman, you know. The grandpa's standing there, and she's doing the talking, though. She was the matriarch. I said, you need to get your junk out of here. And she said, and she's going at, and now, and grandpa, you know, and I'm 60. So grandpa's there. He's wanting to fight me. And she's holding him off. She's holding him off. And I'm thinking, grandpa, don't do that. That would not be a good thing for us to go. So she's going, and we're getting into it. And in my mind, I'm thinking, this is a spiritual, in my dream, I'm thinking, this is a spiritual thing. And so I'm barking. I said, get out of here. And honestly, I don't know if I would be that spiritually strong in a real thing. But in my dream, I was doing a pretty good job. Get out of my house. She was mad and they vanished. And the stuff was gone. It was gone. So I'm telling somebody, it might have been one of the guys at school. I don't know. And my first thought was, there is something that I am letting into my life, and I've got to be careful of this. And this, it was with Patty, because we were talking about it. Patty, let's pray, because I do not want something, whether it's a feeling because things aren't perfect in our lives right now, or a mopey thing, or woe is me kind of, let's just be careful that we don't let the enemy come into our home and set up shop here and run the show. It's not going to happen. Lord, help us through this, right? It's like the plumb line was dropped and I could see things for what it was. A couple weeks ago that was. I hadn't talked about it since then. I'm getting ready to leave and Patty says to me, oh, are you preaching today? Yeah. She goes, you know, I had a dream last night. I go, yeah, well, I'm ready to go, you know. Kind of half listening, half not. Forgive me. And she's watching. I know she's watching, right? She's probably laughing or thinking, yeah, your dinner's going to be burned. I can see that. I don't know. So she says, you know, this morning I had a dream about a red skunk. I said, So I stopped at the door. I thought, that's interesting. So I turn around, a red skunk. She goes, yeah, you and I were playing with this red skunk. And I said, well, didn't that cause a little concern? Were we a little concerned? She says, well, we thought it was kind of unusual that it was red. You know, so we thought, well, let's play with this skunk. And I said, don't you see the obvious? And it hit me like a brick. The same idea, right? Entertaining things that are going to do us harm. Sometimes it's got a nice, pretty facade on and it doesn't look bad. In fact, it's unusual and unique. Yet it was not good. And I said, Patty, you just added a point to the message. I walked out the door. So she's trying to figure out, where is that going to go? Anyways, the plumb line dropped in our lives. There are so many things that we are blind to without the Holy Spirit's help. I just encourage you in that. And so for me, that dream, especially about the house, was sometimes we need to put a keep out sign in our spiritual lives. Lastly, our culture. This is, I was reading, I'll probably get in trouble for this down the road. Friday's kids in my class, I have kids A day, B day, so every other day. The Friday's group of kids, every federal holiday, we do a reading, you know, Martin Luther King, I'll read it, I Have a Dream speech or show it or something like that. So it's Christmas. So I read them, Luke chapter 2, and I'm encouraged by some kids and what they know, but more so I'm discouraged by what they don't know. And Albert Mohler, he was talking about a post-Christian culture. He says, we're getting to a place now where we're moving away from Christ historically as the Redeemer to Christ as just a historical figure with no consequences attached to it. And I'm finding with 10, 11, 12-year-olds, we're getting to a place where it's not that they're forgetting stories, that they've never even heard the story. And I'm sure Albion schools are no different than anywhere else in our country, or world for that matter. Here's the abortion thing. The plumb line. Okay, New York State. Boom. Right here. Our New York State Attorney General, her name is Letitia James. And in response to the Supreme Court, I think it's Dobbs versus Jackson, the Mississippi case, which, if it goes the way the church or the pro-life people would like, in the end, it wouldn't get rid of abortion across the country. It would give states the opportunity to decide what they want to do with it. Okay? If Oklahoma says, not going to happen here, it's not going to happen in Oklahoma. It's up to their state legislature. But it's not a federal thing then. Okay? Now, New York, it's going to happen here. As long as it is the current political situation. And so Letitia James, because of and in response to their concern that many states will now drop the abortion option in their state, Letitia James is encouraging what they call abortion tourism in our state, which is a term meaning we're going to do everything we can in our state legislature to allow people from another who live in another state to come here to be able to have that abortion. So, you know, there's the vertical center, and here we go, farther and farther away as a culture, as a state that we are citizens of. And so we have a responsibility as citizens of this place, on this earth, as long as we're here, to stand for something right. Even if your voice is drowned out by the masses, there is a power or something behind it because it's the truth. Even if you're the only one at your workplace. I'll just throw a plug in here. I think our next spring, maybe in the spring sometime, we'll start another Sunday school class before service. And I think we're going to do something called biblical citizenship, which we'll look at as our citizenship not only here in the earthly realm, but how that ties into our kingdom citizenship and the principles that we would apply there and here. And just how do we live our lives? How important is a Supreme Court case to us? You know, because there's very different views on all of these things. And so we'll take a look at those things. I'm going to ask you to please stand. We serve an immutable God. He does not change. When the storm is raging and the boat is filling up with waves, guess what? You're okay. You're safe. The foundation is sure. This is the prophet Zephaniah speaking to Judah and Jerusalem. And I read this week, and I thought it was appropriate for all of us. Just not necessarily specific to this message, but for all of us. It says this, near is the great day, near and coming quickly. Listen for the day of the Lord. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to us in our day. Listen right now to what He's saying as we approach 2022. January 1st is no different than December 31st. It's got a different year attached to it. It's the same thing in God's eyes, right? He is ever present. That doesn't mean anything. What matters is we're alive right now. And we have the privilege and responsibility to love and serve and honor in the unique ways that he has made each and every one of us, with a unique calling for each and every one of us to serve and love that immutable God in whatever way he chooses for us to do it. And so let's just be listening to the Holy Spirit as a church body and as a congregation. What will this service look like 1 year from today? I don't know. Will it be the exact same faces? Will there be fewer? Will there be more? I don't know. Will there be two services? I hope so. That'd be nice. Father, we just open our hearts to you. And I as I say that, if there is anyone here who in their heart knows that they are on the wrong side of that vertical reference, that they have not acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Redeemer for eternity, this is the most important moment of your life, to bend your knee to him and to say, yes, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. You came to this earth as a baby so that I might live forever, even as you gave your life. Lord, help me to give my life to you. And I just encourage you, if that's you here this morning, please come up after the service and talk to one of us. Acknowledge your place before the rightful King. Whether you want to believe it or not, he is the answer for your life. And I just pray that God would give you the faith and the courage to say yes to him. And all of us, the same thing. And that our ears would be attentive to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us in the days that we are in right now. Thank you, immutable God, that you are our rock and our Savior. And we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless. Tim.
Just before we're dismissed, that was a great message, Tim. Awesome. Probably saw my son come over. He's part of Batavia Police, Genesee County, SWAT. They don't call it SWAT, it's ERT. And he said, I got an ERT call, so that's where he had to go to. He doesn't know what it is. So I'm thinking, yeah, it's probably nothing, you know, but I'm thinking, no, this is, you know, could be serious. I just wanted to pray, okay? Whatever's going on in Batavia or whatever, somewhere in that area, as the SWAT ERT guys are activated today. So, Father, we just pray. Lord, this is a beautiful time for us at Christmas, but some folks, I don't know, things seem happen around times like this. So we just ask, oh God, that if, to pray it's just a false alarm or misunderstanding or something, or that it would be resolved easily. And we just pray that there would be no harm toward for anyone, Lord, and we just pray your protection over these police as they activate today and do whatever is called upon them to do, and we just pray you'd be with them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Help me remember to get my granddaughter out of Sunday school, okay? Hallelujah. You're dismissed. Have a great day.